And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is December 30th, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to celebrate the end of 2015 with the great Italian music and with best wishes to that this year will come with great things and happiness to all humanity. You know, we're starting to wind up to 2015, and everybody's trying to recollect what is, you know, what that this year gave us. It gave us awareness of all our situation across and around the globe. Not all of them, because there are many, you know, that are difficult to see, difficult to listen, because whatever comes first is the hoo-ha of the noisy one. You know, there are always that segment of population that are more more in the face, or maybe the messengers that send you all the messages and tell you what's going on. So maybe it's the news that gives us all the up, you know, and about of what's going on. And I prepared some news information, and as I was rounding up the latest, I realized that, you know, there was a high risk. We're living in a high risk and potential of explosion, and you know, every day. And the only things that will keep us intact is our sanity and our wisdom to learn from the past and to avoid the mistakes that were made in the last World War. Because right now what we're talking about is World War III that is raging all over, if we like it or not. But you know, it's not yet it if the big forces are not clashing. So that's something that we can say, that it's working out for our best, that the big guys are actually smart enough to keep it cool. And I know that the Russian president Vladimir Putin sent a greeting card to President Obama for the new year. So maybe it's a symbol of a start, a new relationship, and trust between those two humongous powers. And, you know, I'm here from the Middle East. I'm here in Israel. I drove all the way to Jerusalem today to see that majestic city on the hill. And if you're talking majestic, it was incredible to see her and to understand that God Almighty selected that city, you know, to be the universal peace center for the world. You know, we need to pay attention that whatever happens will be for the best. So we need to turn those events. And as we turn off the calendar dates, 2015, a year of big challenges, great empowerment, and a lot of discoveries, because there were great discoveries. There were a lot of good things happened, but, you know, in the midst of all this noise, we cannot really see it through. So let's hope that we wind up all the bad and we start with the good and the wisdom. So to start, let's do some check of, you know, of the news that I collected for you today.
We're supposed to talk now about the relevance of the candidate Coolidge or Reagan for the current election. There are four issues we can name for the current election that I'd like to. Two are international, immigration and intervention abroad. Two are domestic, expansion of the federal government at the expense of the private sector, and the federal debt. In all four areas, the 30th president proves a more relevant model than 40. If you start with immigration, and that's one area where the Republican Party is in trouble today, not knowing what it's doing, Reagan would say something nice about growth and families, and but there is concern in the country. It's a different time, as there is in Europe. What about immigration? You have to say something more than immigration causes growth. Otherwise, the result is someone like Donald Trump who says bigoted things. Here, Coolidge offers a model. Coolidge loved immigrants. He felt great kinship with them. He said, whether one traces his Americanism back three centuries to the Mayflower or 3 years ago to the steerage, here we are all in the same boat. However, Coolidge did hold that immigration proceeds better slowly, that it requires regulation, and that it ought not to be for political blocks, but rather all the immigrants become one as citizens and part of America. That's a very inspiring and useful idea. Second, foreign intervention. Today we have no clarity about where the U.S. will deploy, how many people it will deploy when it does, and for how long. Leaders from both parties are knee-jerk interventionists. Perhaps, I won't go on about Nicaragua, but perhaps it is time to have a president who is not a neocon, to have a president that doesn't say, because I feel this side or that side is right, we intervene there. Coolidge sent his ambassador to Mexico to stop wars, not to start one. He abhorred gunboat diplomacy, and he said one of the best things America can do for the rest is be a better model at home. You don't have to be an isolationist to see the wisdom there.
A better model at home, that's a good thing to start with. Remember, you guys, sometimes the lessons of the past are the one that give us the most clue about the way we should act in the future. All right, so let's keep going to the next segment. This was the history lesson.
India is an emerging economic powerhouse. Its wealth and economic strength has been rising over the last decade, averaging an annual growth of 7% a year and even outgrowing China in the latest quarter of 2015. As part of its overall plan to become one of the next superpowers, India has been using some of its annual $2 trillion GDP to build up its military prowess. Already it has the third largest army in the world, with around 1.3 million personnel. With this economic and military strength, combined with its distrust of neighboring countries, ongoing territorial conflicts, and a desire to become a major world player, India is a huge threat to the international status quo. India is in the middle of a power struggle in Asia, caught between the rise of China and the ever-present nuclear power of Pakistan. It's predicted that by 2030...
All right, we're talking about the situation that while we all, you know, focusing on one end, there is a huge armament on the other end. And everybody knows that India is a very strong force, economical force, and while we all were engaging to condemn what China is doing to the world, all the, you know, the work that been transported overseas was not going only to China, it was going also to India. Nothing wrong with that when we shared the work, but remember that that work was taken from America and went elsewhere. And many times when you called your credit card, you found a little tiny voice, you know, Indian voice saying, you know, I'm calling India. And I remember many times fixing my web account or something, I end up talking to somebody from India. So the idea is, you know, economical power you can understand because the growth of the world turned everybody into a working power. Now, the question is, now, a military power, is that a need when you know that Pakistan has a very long standoff with India and they have the nuclear capability? Because as we speak, we know that they started to test missiles that were you know, a product of collaboration of the Western forces. And it's amazing if we want to empower all these forces constantly. And what the other lady says, you know, from the quota from C-SPAN, about the fact that we want to send people overseas, an ambassador that will start some peace negotiation, not to start a war. Now, the question is, it's not like those leaders are, as she said, knee-jerk, you know, as far as reaction to any forces. It means, let me recap. The idea is that the reaction of the leaders and of the free world right now is very attent and very slow. It's because the repercussion is much more, they're bigger, it's more dangerous. So I wouldn't blame anybody from not reacting fast enough. But let's ask, what would you do now, today, when you know that Iran launched a rocket 1,500 yards from a U.S. carrier today? Iranian rockets almost hit a U.S. carrier. What was the message that was sent to America? Did we have some sort of understanding that they can do that? Did we understand that, you know, that, you know, was it a mistake that the U.S. aircraft, the carrier, was in the vicinity? And how come they're giving us such a short alert and they're launching such a rocket? Just imagine if something had happened. It will be definitely a declaration of war. Once the sanctions are going to get renewed, because once, you know, you have to renew the sanctions since Iran is not obeying, it's the third time that they are... their misconduct is obvious and known to everybody, and if you ignore it, it's like you are not relevant. It's like third time, and now they're launching it on you. So trust me, the next one will be hitting, and what will happen? Oops! It's like the airplane, the Russian airplane that went down when Turkey. Just draw down an airplane, and they knew Russia is not going to slam dunk them and finish and level them like Putin would like to. But it will wait. It will wait because Erdogan, you know, time as a leader, it probably, you know, is for now, I'm not sure how secure it is. I don't know how it is. Those crazy people. You know what? Let me not talk about it as far as December 30th. It's really not the mood that I want to set for this. Let's listen to some Italian music. At least we got them to have some kind of hope and, you know, and we're grateful for the Italian music. Let's listen to it.
Chiudo gli occhi e penso a lei, il profumo dolce della pelle sua, è una voce dentro che mi sta portando dove nasce il sole. Sole sono le parole, ma se vanno scritte tutto può cambiare senza più timore.
Questo grande amore, this is Volo. It's the music that I chose for the Italian music this ending 2015. It's because I think that they are the best, they are outstanding, and they sing in a tune that we all have to acquire taste, maybe, but I'm serious. It's a great music. Anyway, let's keep on going. There is a big hoo-ha today about the fact that America spy on Israel, Israeli visits or Israeli communication, diplomatic communication, obviously, in the midst of the negotiation with Iran. The reason was supposedly that Israel was again, putting in play a lot of member of Congress, and the U.S. wanted to listen to. Now let's reconsider what's going on right now. First of all, the fact that the U.S. listening to any country she wants, it's a fact, it's a known, nobody is surprised. I think that only Prime Minister Netanyahu was surprised, but really, we all know that America is listening. It's a part of the protection deal that happened after 9/11. They said before that it's probably old news, it's old school. Whatever happened with the Russian, I remember those movies, when they bug all the hotels room someplace. It's known. You know, we are not surprised. I really don't have anything to comment as far as to do it or not. I'm just saying, there is no friendship that will hold so much pressure. It's just putting cold water on any warm relationship. Now, the fact of the matter is, America needs Israel intelligence. America needs Israel cooperation. America needs Israel first line in the war on terror in the Middle East. If you like it or not, this is the country that actually set America in the Middle East as a very powerful player, where we can pretend that it depends on the money. Israel will not. No. It's not. It's still, the ideas that Israeli are stealing all, technology. I'm thinking that the fact that, all the geniuses that runs the world and so many Nobel Prizes were Jewish, were Israeli, nobody thinks like it's like you're trying to take intelligence property from the Jewish people and make it somebody else. You cannot. The fact that Jewish people are all over the globe and they contribute to humanity, and it's a fact. Now let's not try to transcend this. I collected one segment of news about it, and I hope that we can pick this one up now and play it for you about what people say. Oh, Israeli spying. It's good that the U.S. spy on Israel because they're not. Doing good. And I'm saying, don't let anybody stay between America and the U.S., America and Israel. Any division, it means that they want to come after you guys. Remember that. Don't play that role. Don't make it. Trust. Just learn to trust your friends, because they will watch over you. They will keep your shoulders safe. You need to trust, and it's nothing can go wrong. You can maybe have more friends. All right. So let's listen. If our dear Doug can find it, that will be great.
For well over a year, the United States has been conducting closed-door negotiations with Iran over the future of its nuclear program. And during almost the entirety of those negotiations, Israel has allegedly been spying on the communication between the U.S. and Iran and other partners in those negotiations, and then giving its intel to Republicans in the U.S. Congress. Now, what's perhaps most surprising about this, and we're going to go into how the U.S. Detected that they were being spied on, and some of the consequences long-term of the U.S. knowing that Israel was not only looking into those negotiations, but attempting to derail them by spreading them to President Obama's political enemies. But that the U.S. isn't even particularly frustrated about the first part of that, just the giving it to the Republicans. We have a senior U.S. official anonymously saying, "It is one thing for the U.S. and Israel to spy on each other. It is another thing for Israel to steal U.S. secrets and play them back to U.S. legislators to undermine U.S. diplomacy." And so that is pretty surprising. Now, what you will not be surprised to find out is that Israel frequently spies not just on, you know, the United States or on other states, most places that they can, they will spy on, and that the U.S. spies on Israel and all of our other enemies and allies as well. I think that to assume that there is not constant spying going on, regardless of military or economic allyship or not, is a little bit naive, but that they would then use that information not just for their own political calculus domestically, but to attempt to derail a process in an ally of theirs. And so that was surprising to me. Now, overall, we found out the White House discovered the operation when U.S. intelligence agencies spying on Israel intercepted communications among Israeli officials that carried details the U.S. believed could only have come from access to the confidential talks. And so there, they are admitting that, yes, we're angry that Israel has been spying and then spreading it, but we found out by spying on them. So at a base level, mutual spying going on.
Yeah, so two funny things about that. One, we have to out ourselves as spying on them. To be outraged about their spying. So, yeah. Man, a little glass house we're living in. Right. Now, at the same time, later in the Wall Street Journal article, they explained that, well, we have a special relationship with Israel, so we don't really sweat it too much when they spy on us. Like, we know the Chinese and the Russians, and actually the French also spy on us a lot, right? Yeah. But we try to counteract that a lot because we don't want the Chinese and the Russians knowing our secrets. Mm. At least the French are allies. Still not a pleasant thing, right?
Yeah. But no, they're not remotely pleasant.
Yes. Not pleasant that they're spying on. Look, and so we're doing our own spying, yes, but for our own interests. You would think that you would be like, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm not that cool with you spying on me, especially because I'm the one giving you $3 billion a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and using, by the way, the beginnings technologically of their spying apparatus, we gave to them so that they could spy on countries like Iran. And they were like, oh, thank you very much. And then they turned it towards D.C.
No, that's the part that would enrage me.
Like, we gave them the ability to spy, and now they're spying on us with it.
And they said, we just want to spy on Iran. Okay, I mean, come on, who's naive enough to believe that, right? Mm-hmm. So, now, they do want to spy on Iran, no question, right? And then they're like, thanks, America, as John said, they start use our technology to spy on us.
Yeah.
But there's got to be bounds of reason, even with the deepest ally.
Yeah.
Like, if my best friend came along and said, hey, Cenk, I really need technology because I've got this nuisance neighbor and I need to see what he's doing. Can you give me the best telescope you have? And I give it to him. And then he uses the telescope to try to see my wife naked. I'd be like, hey, you know what? We're not that cool anymore. Yeah. That was kind of not kosher, if you will. Okay, so like bounds of goddamn reason.
Yeah. At the same time, though, while I find it to be sort of odd that they're turning it around on us, like we've earned it. Like we've told them we want you to have the capacity to spy on people. So how angry can we really be that they're using it on us? Like we provide, like someday, like right now we're close military allies. 100 years from now, 200 years from now, that might not be the case. And if they at some point turn the weapons that we provided on them or the defense funding that we provided on them against us, I mean, we sort of made that bed. And now we need to lie on it with them in the future, I guess.
By the way, we also
Be too surprised. That's all I'm saying.
We give a tremendous amount of weapons to Egypt. So if I said, hey, at some point maybe Egypt turns on us, depending on their government, you would find that completely plausible, right?
And we've already had that situation happen. We gave weapons to the Mujahideen, and then they eventually turned them around against our helicopters and our soldiers. We armed them.
Yeah.
Once you give it away, you can't tell where the barrel is going to be pointed. And that goes with intelligence gathering as well.
So don't get us wrong. We're saying we live in a glass house, and maybe we should have not given them the spying technology in the first place and go, oh my God, they used it against us.
How dare they?
Right. Now, having said that, the White House is right that it is particularly problematic to then use that not just to spy on us, but then to undermine us.
Yes.
So, in essence, that's John's point, but brought to the issue of not weapons, but spying. So, Israel's not using their weapons against the U.S., obviously, right? But they are using the technology weapons we've given them against us by saying, you want a peace deal with Iran, we don't want you to have a peace deal with Iran, we're going to undermine that peace deal, and at that point, by the way, we might have to use actual weapons, right? You might have to send actual soldiers to Iran, they might have to die for this cause, but I'm going to undermine you anyway, given the tools that you gave me, so thanks a lot. And so that's why the Obama administration and the White House is super pissed now. And they should be.
Yeah. I don't think you can really blame them for trying to find out as much as they can. And I guess once they have the information, they're going to do what they can to derail it. And so they provide it to the Republicans. I'm frustrated with the Republicans for taking foreign intelligence to attempt to undermine the president. I mean, can you imagine if the Democrats took information provided by any country? Like, let's not even go to like Pakistan or something. If Germany provided information to Harry Reid and then he undermined George Bush's negotiations, can you imagine the heads exploding in D.C.?
Well, here, let's go a little further in that same analogy. The French, who were opposed to the Iraq war, or the Turks, even better yet, mm-hmm. opposed to the Iraq war, deep ally of the United States in the region, spying on the Americans, find out critical information about us, right? Mm. And they are against the Iraq war. They don't want the United States to go to war. And they undermine George Bush's policy by telling either important partners or the world, hey, here's America's secrets and why you shouldn't trust them.
All right. Now, after we listen to that, and I give it to you because this is impossible truth. I'm dealing with the truth, with the facts, and whatever it comes from it. But, oh boy, if those boys added spin on it. Now, listen to this. They say America gave Israeli the capability to spy on Iran. Right. Now, when you spy on Iran and those negotiation is dealing with Iran, is with America, what do you think will happen? You're listening to both, all right? So as far as spying, it was a part of Iran negotiation, so there was nothing you can complain about. Now the fact that you own us $3 billion a year is to have the capability to defend the only democracy in the Middle East that protects U.S. interest. Wow, what a cheap, cheap, cheap deal to have. Because you guys don't have the boots on the ground in Israel. Because Israelis are giving their life in to protect American interests. I think that those $3 billion that go to defense product, nothing. You don't give us education. You don't give us anything. And I'm sounding maybe pissed, but I am not. I'm very, very much aware of this business of defense that you guys are selling the world when you're actually creating the machine to defend American interests. So let's repeat it. You guys are owning Israel? No, this is God's land, all right? Let's back off. You give $3 billion a year to Israel. Yes. In what form? Of weapon. If I want the kids to have laptop, is that something you provide with $3 billion? No, we're not allowed. Am I allowed to have a university? No, I'm not. Am I allowed to have books? No. So you're giving me weapon. And then you're complaining that you're fighting between you guys all the time and giving us no actually escape from this goes around catch 22 of firing and actually being in the risk of the always constantly fighting and be threatened. Oh, yes, but we got the Iron Dome. That was product. Yeah, launch another missile to another missile. Maybe you miss one, right? Then you're going to have. Now, you need the capability of Israeli soldier to prevent it from happening because it's the Israeli intelligence. It's the Jewish intelligence. It's nothing to do with American. The American are equipment. So let's start buzzing me off with Israeli spying. You guys, is American is spying all over the world. It's a fact. Please don't complain that it's coming back by the way, you know, because your interference is all over and the Israeli needs to do their deal to survive in this crazy world. And then the White House is pissed? No, I don't think so. It's the equation, the math does not add up. The Israeli are pissed. They're just stunned. Stupid. You don't stop. Oh, I'm not. I know. I'm an American Israeli. Yeah, I know both sides of the game. And, you know, if you see me, I'm pointing like, you know, a black lady from South Carolina will point right now. Seriously, you guys, what do you think you're doing? And you're coming at pointing fingers? No wonder you know, it's all a mess. Because the equation doesn't add up. When you don't know to add up the mathematics, so the Israeli, what they do, they tell you, listen, we were listening to this stuff, and you guys have it wrong. So they're talking to their friends because the White House doesn't want to talk. It's not because we're not sharing intelligence. We're sharing with whoever wants to listen. So the fact that one end is listening and the other said, oh, it's the Democrat or Republican, who cares? You know, I called to my friend, whoever my friend, you know, you guys see it wrong. It wasn't like that. It was that they're sharing their intelligence. Yes, they're interpreting it. That's the difference between intelligence and information, you knowledge, the wisdom of understanding the fact. If you guys don't understand the fact, how you can interpret it? So you get the interpreter in the Middle East, cheaper, $3 billion a year. Wow, what a shit. I stacked the whole 7 million people, you know, holding up for the American superpower in the world. And then you boo us like nothing else. Right, that's friendship. Love it. Seriously. Oh, boy, I'm so happy it's Wednesday, so we get some Italian music at least to relax me a little. All right, let's listen to some more music, and we'll be back after that. All right, guys, I'm so happy 2015 is finishing because I can't handle this anymore. Now let's listen to some more segment of the news that we collected.
It is an incredible time to be alive. General Michael Flynn, multi-star general, former head of Defense Intelligence Agency, that's Pentagon Intelligence, one of the most important intelligence agencies of the 16, went public and said, we were ordered to create Al-Qaeda and ISIS and let them take over Syria. It was a conscious plan, and we don't like it. We don't stand with it. And I told you at the time, there is absolute war in the Pentagon between the State Department and a faction of the CIA on one side, and factions of the CIA, Defense Intelligence, the U.S. Army on the other side. And I've been told this by, let's just say, active duty people. This is extremely dangerous. And we've talked about it hundreds of times here the last few years. You saw the military, including officers, holding up signs saying, I won't be Al-Qaeda's Air Force in Syria 2.5, 3 years ago. Rand Paul coming out saying we shouldn't be Al-Qaeda's Air Force. Many of the officers hold up the signs, Infowars.com. We had Tosh Plumlee retire as a CIA contractor to go public here and say from NATO and from military, confirming shipping high-impact TOW missiles, Stinger missiles, and others directly to Syrian rebels via Turkey. And now, Volume 38, Number 1, January 7th, 2016, just came out this morning. It is a lengthy Cy Hirsch report, 14 pages long, that we will do a special report on the news about tonight and more in the third hour. It is unbelievable. This is a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. This is a man given CIA clearance to investigate. He is a listener. He's emailed back and forth with us, but never comes on the show. Now is the time. He has confirmed everything in triplicate, that there is a war between senior staff and different agencies. And I don't want to say the Navy and the Army, but the whole Navy's not bad, but the Navy has been siding basically with the globalist more than the Army. Because there is a cult of George Washington in the Army, and it's really hard to break it because they've done a lot of corrupt, bad stuff, but this is coming down to killing the country right now. And I know Jesse Ventura is a Navy man. I'm not bashing the Navy. We're going to go to him with big breaking news from his trip to Russia. But that is now all in here, that they're funding al-Qaeda, al-Nusra, ISIS in Turkey, sending them in with weapons. Then the other group of generals actually is in contact with Assad. This is in the New Yorker magazine, folks. Cy Hirsch, not Alex Jones now. Of course, we told you 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But this is confirmed. They then directly give Assad the intel on how to beat him. And that's why Colonel Schaefer came on a few months ago and said, we are now working with the Russians openly. We are going to destroy ISIS and al-Qaeda. And I said, and that was from congressional secret meetings he was at. He put out the info here. He's authorized to do that. You understand? Authorized by the government to come on my show and tell you that. There is a full-on war close to Operation Valkyrie going on right now, where our own government doesn't want to be part of this, that is sections of this incredible evil. And when the Navy SEALs didn't go along with the fake Bin Laden story, they just blew up their helicopter, didn't they? And I've talked to some of those families and people in person. They've been on the show years after I told you I met with them in person. Other families. But do you understand, folks, there is a full-on war right now for this country, and it's dangerous. Now, Jesse Ventura went to Russia to be part of a big press event. He was at an event Putin was at, had a chance to talk to him briefly, very interesting. But the big thing, Jesse, you've never heard him this excited in a while, was about the parallels between how Russia is changing and how America is changing. And I asked him to tell me more, and he said, well, you know, when I'm coming on the show, I'll just tell you then. That was last Friday, so he joins us now. He's got Off the Grid TV show. It's very popular and aired on different TV networks and things around the world, not just here in the United States. The story's up on Infowars.com. President Vladimir Putin personally thanked Jesse Ventura during Moscow visit. And I literally, during the three-minute break, was given this article and scanned over it. Richard had already read it and was getting ready to highlight it for me, but I checked the parts he talked about. I already knew all this, but here's Cy Hirsch admitting open war going on in the government. What do you think when they have top generals coming out saying this and top analysts saying we've been ordered to protect al-Qaeda and ISIS? And yes, who'd you hear talk about this 3 years ago? Jesse Ventura. Myself and others, we've known what's going on, but now it's so out in the open, it's so dangerous, it makes my head spin. And yes, you've got neocons and you've got the Obama people on one side, and then you've got the rest of the military and more libertarian conservatives on the other. Now joining us is Jesse Ventura for the balance of the hour. Governor, thank you so much for coming on. I just broke all this here on air. Cy Hirsch just broke it this morning. We've discussed this over and over again. When you were on just a few months ago, we discussed this exact topic. So it's not breaking for us, but how incredible is this to have the most respected reporter in the world, in my view, I don't think that's disputed, Seymour Hirsch, coming out and confirming in a 14-page report this incredible information. It's military to military. Seymour Hirsch on U.S. intelligence sharing in the Syrian war. Headline should be Civil War Inside the Federal Government Over Backing of al-Qaeda. Jesse Ventura.
Well, first of all, Alex, that's stunning news. It's news to me. I knew nothing about it. I was working out this morning, and that's the first I've heard of it. It's not surprising. I will tell you this. Do you want to know why the Navy gets their pick? Because we've beaten Army 14 years in a row. So that's how they determine who's on top, whoever wins the Army-Navy game. And Navy's won 14 years in a row, so that's how come Navy gets priority. Anyway, humor aside, the situation you got now is because it all goes back to why are we there in the first place when you truly look at it. You know, Alex, you and I have beefed over immigration and all that stuff, but here's where I stand now. I stand for this, and I stand with Major General Smedley Butler, the Marine who won 2 Congressional Medals of Honor. Our military shouldn't go over 500 miles from our own shore, so let's bring them home. Let's secure our borders with the U.S. military, both southern and northern borders, because we don't want to discriminate. And let's end all immigration to the United States. Take down the Statue of Liberty. Say it doesn't apply anymore. Because if you end just immigration to certain people, then you're discriminating. You either have, in the words of immigration, it has to be all or none.
No, I get there's two sides to it. And I want to get into that later because that's, I mean, there's so much happening currently. But undoubtedly, how do you bring in people from Syria, a lot of them that invaded, not even vet them, and then let them attack? I mean, obviously, citizens get screened coming in. You get screened. I mean, a lot of these immigrants don't even get screened is the issue, Jesse, is the unfairness.
Well, the unfairness is, too, it's not the immigrants. If you
look
at the France, wait, if you look at the France attack, those were Belgian citizens. Those weren't immigration. Those weren't people. They weren't refugees.
Some of them
were
out of Greece, but you're right, somewhere in Europe. But let's expand on this before we get off on immigration. How big a deal is it? Is that it's? I mean, you were in some big panels with former CIA people, you name it. You're here to talk about your amazing experience in Russia, but we know the West has been funding and Turkey's been funding and buying the oil. That's all come out. Our own military is saying they don't want to go along with this. I mean, that's a pretty big deal,
Alex. This is all part of the culture of America today. We are a war culture. We must. Why do you think they tried to trump up the Cold War with the Russians again? Because we have to be at war all the time to support the military-industrial complex and all the money makers. You got to remember something. Anytime you go to war, there are war profiteers. There are people that make huge money off the war. No war is away from that. World War II, Korea, Vietnam. You name the war, and there are war profiteers, people who profit from those wars. So it's in their best interest to stay at war. It's in the best interest, they believe, of the United States to have a common enemy so that we're at war all the time. And when they couldn't find one, they came in with the war on drugs, which has proved to be a war against their very own citizens.
You're absolutely right.
Of the United States of America.
Well, let's... Absolutely. Let's start getting into Russia, because that's really the reason we're here. It's so important, and it ties into this. I mean, the very same people trying to overthrow Syria are trying to overthrow Ukraine and then spending it that Russia did all this when George Soros and Brzezinski and others admit the State Department spent $5 billion engineering the overthrow of the elected government. That segues to your trip to Russia that was very interesting.
Yeah, no, I got to go. They carry off the grid is carried by RT America, Russian Television America, on Friday nights. And they won't have me on RTV. So isn't it ironic that a former governor has to go get his show on Russian television?
Well, so does Larry King.
So does Larry King. That's right. But no, RT is a tremendous station. I love the station. And they offered my wife and I all expenses paid to go to Moscow for their 10th anniversary. It was the 10th anniversary of Russian Television America, and I learned that President Putin was very instrumental in the creation of this television. It was there when he got there, but he really got behind it. And so there was rumor he would show up at the occasion that night, and sure enough, it was confirmed, and he did. And so it was remarkable to me to be honored, because they brought all the people who are on Russian television up on the stage and to be honored. And I'm sitting there. It was like being in the Twilight Zone. I mean, here I am, a Vietnam veteran. I've lived through the entire Cold War. I've looked at these people with fear my whole life because I've been brainwashed to do so. And I get over there and I find out, guess what? They're just like we are. They really and truly are the people. When I traveled there, I left here at night and traveled and got there at night. I'm driving to the hotel and I'm looking outside. And Minnesota is a very festive Christmas state when it comes to putting out lights and all the paraphernalia that goes along with the celebration of Christmas. Minnesota looked like pikers compared to Moscow. My wife and I had never seen so many decorations honoring and enjoying the festive holiday as we did driving at night in Moscow. I actually thought for a moment they took me up. They did circles up there for 10 to 12 hours and then landed me back in Minneapolis, because you know what the next thing I saw over there was?
No.
McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I truly thought, am I still in Minneapolis? And but then, of course, you know, it went on and we went to the thing and Putin was there. Putin got up and gave a speech that was outstanding, and I have to back him up on it. He said that they would never interfere with our opinions on the show. He would never interfere in any of our creativity of we the talent could bring to Russian television America. And I have to tell you, I've been on there for 1 year now, and what he spoke was the truth, because they have never interfered one bit in anything I've talked about, any subject that I deem to give my opinion on.
I know I've not been censored. So I mean, I know I've not been censored when I've come on your show, but that sounds so surreal that you take off in the middle of winter wonderland, you land back in the middle of winter wonderland, and you also talked about Putin coming over and talking to you. I want you to repeat that for folks. And then also talk about some of the other panels that you were part of, and your description of me that Russia's going in the right direction, it looks like, and we're going in the wrong direction. So.
Oh, you want me to go? I thought we were going to break. No, I'll go
skip
right there.
It.
No. President Putin was sitting there, and after I was honored, when he got up to leave, he came up the aisle and he expressly came over to me, and we shook hands and looked eye to eye, and he quietly leaned into me and he just said very quietly, "Thank you, Governor," which I was astounded over. Because first of all, he gave me my title, which I rarely get anymore in the United States of America. You know, people don't refer to me as the governor anymore, but yet he did. And the big thing out of Putin was his speech to me. You know, the guy is a dynamic speaker. And then being around Russia, it appears to me that they are heading towards this newfound freedom that they've discovered since the communists have fallen, and they now refer to them as the communists. We were given a bus tour where we drove all over Moscow to go to RT, the studios, and it required about a 45-minute drive, and we had a person on board showing us all the buildings and this and that. I got to see the old building that the KGB operated out of, and then we actually went into the Kremlin, and it's remarkable to go into the Kremlin. The museum inside the Kremlin is unbelievable. And then the biggest thing I decided the last day I was going to be wild and woolly Jesse. So I wore my fringe jacket. I wore a do-rag. I had a pair of shades on, and I was looking like Jesse the Body. And I came walking, and there was a young couple, beautiful young couple, a boy and a girl, couldn't speak a word of English. But they came up to me so happy and so full of life, I couldn't believe it, because they were astounded over my clothing. You know, of what I was wearing. And that's the feeling I got over there. When I left Moscow, to me it was, these people are no different than people in Minnesota. There is no difference. The only difference we have is how we're getting orchestrated into hating each other for 50 years for no frickin' reason.
Well, that's right. Longer than that, let me just say my point on this, because it's a very important point. I've studied this in depth. Social engineers, British royalty, the British Empire, basically, but also Wall Street, wanted to bring down the czars, and they had their own corruption, their own problems. It was feudal Russia. But in 1917, they funded the Bolsheviks out of the United States and England on record to take it down, bring it down. It was a color revolution, just like you see happening in Kiev and Ukraine right now, or in Syria. Rebels were sent in after World War I when Russia was weak at the end of it, who was our ally. We double-crossed them. I mean, this is our elites did. And we put the demons that are communist in there that killed tens of millions of people and then turned Russia into basically an enemy of free.
All right. Wow, I love Jesse Ventura. And if there is any segment that you want to follow up, please check it out in YouTube. But let me remind you a sentence that I always keep of Jesse Ventura, and it is the title of his book, too, that he wrote when he ran for governor. He said, "We have no time to bleed." It means we are in the middle of war. We are in the middle of surviving. We are in the middle of it. We have no time to, you know, to wipe our tears. Let's get it going, all right? So in this new year, Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful beginning. Start anew. May God give us the wisdom to start a smart year, a good year for everybody, for humanity's sake. And God bless America. I love you so much. I want you back. I want you back the way you are. And from Israel, the Holy Land, the place where God gave the Jewish people and the rest of the world to have, you know, a place to unite, I send you all my best. It's my, you know, there is no difference between the heart and the mind. We are all together on this, all right? God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.